Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
What if movies were games? What if movies were games? What if movies were games?
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And Jackson, we have a very special guest with us today.
That is true.
Just before we started recording, I referred to him as the best in the biz.
That's true as well.
That's because it is true. So introducing to Thumb Cramps for the first time, Pete Burns.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Crowd goes insane.
In the business.
Yeah.
I need to get a little plaque printed out for my desk.
You should.
For any listeners that are unaware, Pete works at Backpocket with Ruby, and we've never called Ruby best in the biz, so you can go into your office and tell everyone.
Yeah.
It's decided. You are the best in the business.
We've made the decision.
You are number one.
I'll get a t-shirt printed up.
That's good.
Well, Jackson, today's Adaptober. Well, it's the last week of Adaptober.
That's so sad. This, I would say, is the saddest part of the year for me when Adaptober comes to a close.
Yeah, like all month we've been dreaming, what if movie was game?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it every freaking day, dude, and now it's time to wave goodbye.
Yeah, well,
so sad.
It is so sad.
I love that you've gone in this direction because everyone goes, oh, October's the scary month.
Yeah.
We'll do horror. No.
We don't believe in Halloween.
I don't believe in Frankenstein's or pumpkins or whatever.
That's actually Frankenstein's monster.
It's actually Pumpkin's Monster.
Dude, Dracula's not the name of the vampire. It's actually Dracula's Monster. Read a freaking book.
Damn it, dude. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed.
Mary Shelley
You've
wasn't
embarrassed
even there.
Me in front of the best in the business.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm embarrassed by the best in the business. I should go.
Well, I'm about to embarrass myself, sort of, because the game we're looking at, well, straight off the bat for Adaptober, is technically a loophole.
Okay.
Because today we're going to be looking at Spider-Man 2 and other games. Now,
there has been a Spider-Man 2 movie.
There's a movie called Spider-Man 2.
There is a movie called Spider-Man 2. There's a movie called The Amazing Spider-Man 2. There's the second Spider-Man in a movie franchise where it's not called Spider-Man 2, but it's called Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's true. That's a Spider-Man 2.
Which doesn't share the title with this game, but this game is called Spider-Man 2. It's a brand new AAA game. Everyone's very excited about it. So I was like, hey, it's sort of what if movie was game.
Yeah.
It has references to the movie, so I'm counting it. Anyway.
Can I tell you the only thing I've seen of Spider-Man 2 somehow? This is the only thing that's ever come across my feed about this game.
It will be awesome if this is like a huge spoiler.
No. I just saw, it must be a glitch or something, where somebody's just a small white cube swinging around New York. That's all I've seen. That's awesome. I hope it's a feature.
It's just the web. Whatever web is inside Spider-Man, that's all that's left.
Oh, dude, you saw the end game. No Spider-Man, only web feature.
It's just the web that's in his guts.
Yeah, Spider-Man keeps his web in his stomach.
Yeah.
Just a core, a cube core of web.
And to replenish it, he's got to eat it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We don't see that in the movies, but you see it in the game. He's got to go around New York just sucking up the webs.
Eating actual spider webs.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I might think that if I got spider powers. I might be like, do I have to eat spiders now?
They never explore that in the films, do they, cowards?
Yeah, they should.
Make Spider-Man get confused and eat spiders.
Tobey Maguire should have looked in the mirror, seen his muscles, and then searched his bedroom for spiders to eat.
I get my powers from spiders.
I don't know. Makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes more sense out than anything else.
Exactly.
Well, superheroes have an interesting relationship with how they get their powers and their relationship with that thing, because, like, Superman, Krypton makes him sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Or mean, depending on what kryptonite it is.
Yeah, that's true. The sun makes him strong.
Yeah.
Mm.
He should be called Sun Man.
I don't know about that.
So Spider-Man 2 is the brand new game by Insomniac Games. It follows Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I know you will not believe that.
That
but
is
also,
crazy to me.
Spider-Man Miles Morales, which was like a Spider-Man 1.5,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man 2, everyone very excited for it. Me as well. I was going to say really
that noise
like.
Was crazy.
That was you eating a spider.
I'm trying to replenish. Yes. Replenish your, my powers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Get that word back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an audio medium. It's good when I slurp words.
Hey, where is the web in a spider?
In its asshole.
No, but. I don't think
they must have. They must have a pouch for it, right?
Is it like, do they make it on the fly, or do they have reserves?
It comes out of their asshole, and they touch it with their legs. I know that.
Yeah. Well, they kind of thread it to do stuff with it. But like, if I chop a spider it off,
where's the web?
Where's the web?
That one video you saw explained it. It's a little cube, and it's guts.
That's true. If I chop a spider in half, there'll be a little cube, like a Starburst. Okay.
So I platinumed both Spider-Man games.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually had a former host of the show who unfortunately has either left the show or died, depending on who you listen to.
Whatever the lore is at the moment, yeah.
He also finished it and then claimed he's like 100% in it.
Yeah.
Three thumbs out of five. Yeah. But we were like, what do you mean? You can't put that long in a game and be that addicted and then be like, it's fine. But then I finished both Spider-Man games. I'm like, I sort of get what he means.
Okay.
Because I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say that I get close to loving them.
Oh, yeah.
But I never think about them. And I, like, I don't know. They, like, scratch a part of my brain when I'm playing them. And I find the story engaging. But the moment the story's done, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I never have to play that again.
Would you describe?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're like, it's such a premium game. It's
got
like all the polish in the world from one of the biggest publishers and developers out there. And then you go, it's just video game.
Yeah.
it's condensed video game.
It's big time video game, video game. Like there's, I quite like a bunch of games where people could be like, oh, that's really rough around the edges, or it actually doesn't run that good in this point, or this doesn't look that good. And I'm like, yeah.
Like Dr. Eggman's hyper-realistic sandwich
in Sonic Unleashed.
Soup. Yeah, Unleashed. Where it makes the game chug briefly as Professor Robotnik or whatever pulls out an insanely detailed, realistic sandwich.
Yeah, because obviously that's one of my favorite games of all time, so that's exactly what I was talking about.
I saw it on Twitter this morning and I can't stop thinking, why did they do that?
Why did they make a sandwich look too good?
A sandwich is like a million polygons and it just chugs the game up. Anyway, sorry.
Really recent examples, like Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I loved that. I recently just finished it. Loved all of it. Like, as in, like, even some of the stuff that was, like, a bit janky at points, I was like, no, you know what? This all adds to it.
Yeah.
Where with Spider-Man, there's not really a lot of that, like, weirdness or, like, anything where you're like, whoa, this is not exactly right. But then, I don't know. It just feels like, I think 3 out of 5 is way too rough, but I would be like, 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 5. Or 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Would you say
it's like a good game to like a kind of like a podcast listening game where you're like, I'm going to chuck on a podcast for an hour, a YouTube video or whatever, and I'm going to collect the collectibles and just kind of enjoy the video game gameplay.
I'll actually say that the Spider-Man games are kind of the opposite of that because the story and a lot of what's happening is like a big draw card. So you kind of want to be paying attention.
Okay.
Because like there is, and Spider-Man 2, we'll get to that in a second, but they have not turned down the shit ton of collectibles.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all tied to, like, side stories that all really add to, I guess, the game. And especially if you're familiar with the comics or even the movies, you're like, oh, that's that character from that thing.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be out there. You'll be sitting in your lounge room pointing at your TV like that Spider-Man meme. Whoa!
Oh, look at what's happening on my television.
And sure, that's far more appropriate for the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood Leonardo DiCaprio meme, but yeah, that's not thematically relevant to
that's
what I'm
fair.
Saying.
That's
so
fair.
It's pretend your TV's pointing back at you.
One of your listeners has to merge those two names and send it to your inbox.
Yes.
That's awesome. And obviously you can't do this because in the Leonardo DiCaprio one, you can't see the TV, but if on the TV, Spider-Man was pointing back.
Maybe there's just an arm coming out, like the ring style. There's a hand coming out.
Yeah, somebody get on that.
Yeah, or alternatively take the original Spider-Man meme and then just make one of the Spider-Men a TV.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Whatever, hey, we'll take both.
Whatever works, yeah.
Anyway, so with that in mind, I quite like the Spider-Man games. I didn't have the problem with Miles Morales that some people had. People were like, this is way too short. And I was like, I thought it was an appropriate length.
Yep.
Story was engaging. I liked what was going on. I liked that it kind of toned down the amount of different tokens and collectibles.
Mm.
It just made it into like two or three different forms of currency. Look, did they learn the right lesson there, or did they kind of go back to what the first Spider-Man was like in Spider-Man 2?
Okay. What about the flying around the city? Does that kind of... like, to me, it feels like that would kind of take away some of the fun of the web slinging if I can just fly everywhere.
They've made the web wings satisfying,
yeah,
but not as satisfying as... web swinging.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, anyway, started Spider-Man 2. I've put an embarrassing amount of hours into it already leading up for this, considering it only came out 3 days ago.
Mm.
I think I've played it for about 12 hours, which is way more than I would usually play a game for this show.
That's a full day.
Yeah, that's a... That's
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's like 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make me feel good. Let's round it down to 10 and just assume that it was actually 10, not 12. Because then... That's less than 4 hours a day. It makes you feel a bit nicer.
That's good. That's
fair. Because, look, I'm not going to be talking about this game today, but I've also played Mario Wonder, and I put a bit of time into that, too. How'd I find all this time for games?
What else are we doing?
Yeah, that's true.
There are Mario movies. You can talk about it.
That's true.
That's true.
We could have done Mario. That would have probably been smart.
Mm, oh, well. Well, maybe you still could. Right
oh, maybe.
Save it for next October.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy one-year anniversary to Super Mario Brothers Wonder. We're finally going to talk about it.
We should do that every October. Going forward, have the anniversary of Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Well, I think the game's good enough that it deserves that.
It is fun.
Anyway, Spider-Man 2, it started, and straight away I was like, okay, this is not a substantial step up, which isn't a bad thing. It's just not that different. It is more of the same.
Yeah.
Which is fine. This is not a negative.
Yeah.
It's just when I started, I was like, oh, okay. It's not going to be, like, crazy different compared to the other ones. There is a couple of new abilities, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. web wings. And there is another section of the city that wasn't in the previous two games. So that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
But it is still... if you played this and you played the remastered version of this first Spider-Man game, not a lot of differences.
Yeah, fair enough.
I find the story in this one probably a bit more engaging than the first one, but also... I can't, because this one obviously lets you play as Miles and Peter,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of differences between their abilities. So, like, when you're doing just, like, side questy stuff, it doesn't really matter who you're playing as.
Yeah, fair.
I guess you just pick whose suit you like more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and at the moment, my Miles looks like he's in Daft Punk.
That's awesome.
And my Spider-Man looks like he's Miles.
Let me know when you unlock the cube. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, back to the cube, though. One thing I found
back
with
to
this
the cube.
Yeah, one thing I found with this game, and look, obviously it's only been out for a couple of days, so a patch will probably fix all of this.
Yeah.
There has been a couple of times where I've had to reload saves because glitches have, like, ended my run through, which is not something I expected.
Yeah.
So I've had it twice where I've picked up an object that I've been, like, prompted to pick up, and it hasn't triggered the dialogue. So my character's just standing there holding the thing, and the game, and you can't exit out of it because the dialogue triggers leaving it.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was one point where Miles was just standing in an apartment holding No, he was just looking at a record player and not saying anything. And I was like, I waited for a bit and I was like,
Miles?
Buddy,
you all right?
Come back to me.
Having a moment.
Give me a sec.
And there was another moment where I took a photo, which is a side quest, and the game registered the photo was taken, but it didn't trigger the completion of the photo. So I couldn't retake it, nor did it finish the mission.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a mama.
Yeah.
I had a couple of other glitches. Those were the two annoying ones because I had to literally reload a save.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's a type of game where it's auto-saving like every 20 seconds, basically. So yeah. I don't think you're going to come across anything where you're
that's
like,
gonna break the game for
yeah,
you completely.
That's game over.
Yeah, that's fair.
But there has been a couple of like weirder, funnier ones. Like there was one where in a cutscene, Miles, the suit that I'd put on Miles, I don't know, I guess the cutscene wasn't prepared for it. So he had like pointy polygons just coming out of his shoulder blades. That was pretty fun. I kind of wish it was an emotional scene because it would have made it funnier.
Yeah.
But it was just like he was just talking to his mom.
Oh, yeah.
Not about anything exciting.
That's fair.
yeah, just you know, sometimes you talk to your mom and no one's saying anything good.
Absolutely. You got to while away the hours of the day, man.
I do love that in-engine cutscenes are pretty universally embraced now, though. Like,
yeah.
So you can have the weird outfit on, and sometimes you'll go into a cutscene after being in a fight and someone's face is all bloody, or like, you know, in a Tomb Raider game or something, like there's an arrow sticking out of your neck as you go into the cutscene. It's like, bravo.
Absolutely. Amazing. And there's nothing better than when, you know, the AI of the enemies has not quite worked properly and you enter a cutscene and somebody's just shooting you in the head while you're having a conversation. Or you just get knocked off screen by someone and people act like you're still in the same place.
Oh, actually,
that's great.
That's another glitch I have encountered in this. And I just also want it on record, I'm not the type of person, because I know there's gamers out there that are like, I'm excited to play this game, but I'm also excited to break it.
Yeah.
I haven't been trying to do anything wrong. It's just like, yeah, it just happened. But there was also one point where I accidentally pushed, it was a guy working at a hot dog stand, and I landed in the hot dog stand from swinging too fast, and it pushed him.
Yeah.
Like out of the stand, but he kept the same animation, but he was standing like 3 meters away and people were walking through him. And I was like,
that's so sad. He doesn't even know he doesn't have hot dogs.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know what I've taken from him.
You knocked his body, his consciousness out of his body. He's just sitting back there now.
That's true.
It like the combat is still super fun. Swinging around the city still rocks. All of the things that were good about the first two are still there. If you liked those, you're going to like this one. But if you're expecting it to be totally different,
yeah.
And I've seen people, and look, it's the internet, and you guys are listening to this on the internet, so you know what you're like. People exaggerate.
Yeah, it's true.
I've seen people say that it's got the best tutorial mission that has ever been in a video game. I would strongly disagree with that. It's not even as good as the first Spider-Man.
What do people say is so good about it?
I don't know.
I've just
heard people say, I think it's because there's a big character you fight right at the start of the game.
Yeah, that's all I've done. I did like the first hour, maybe 90 minutes,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is Spider-Man again.
Yeah.
Am I gonna commit to playing this? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy that experience, and it's cinematic as hell.
Yeah.
Like that, it was very cool. But you're right, I don't think it is a better tutorial necessarily than the first one.
I think the first one's more fun. Because, yeah, basically, for anyone who hasn't played, and this is just a tutorial, so if anyone comes at me and says this is a spoiler, I'm going to crawl out of your phone and fight you.
Yeah, okay.
So don't send the email. I don't care.
That's scary.
Like The Ring, I will come and
or
get
Spider-Man
you.
Or Spider-Man in the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing meme. Yeah,
there won't be a 7-day delay, though. It will be instant. You'll press send, and then I'll be there.
Something
then,
will be in your ear immediately.
Oh, yeah. I'll crawl out of your...
Which part's coming through first? How do you crawl through a phone?
That's true. I think I'll try and go fist first.
I think you should do fists out of the earphones and then both your legs out of the phone. So that they get punched in both sides of the head and then kicked in the face.
That's a good idea.
I think it's really smart.
Yeah. Anyway, the first fight, which is in the tutorial, is against Sandman.
Yeah, okay.
And fighting, because it means you have to fight lots of sand goons straight off the bat. And that is an interesting character design. It's just guys that are shaped like sand.
Yeah.
So there's no Well, no, sand that's shaped like guys is what I meant. Yeah, but you know what I meant. Guy, so it's not like
guy that's shaped like sand.
I guess that would be a puddle.
Yeah, of guy.
Alex Mack.
Alex Mack is a guy shaped like sand,
but still made out of human flesh in that instance.
Yeah. Yuck.
Well, fighting that would have been a very
that's interesting.
Strong.
Yeah, that's
stunt.
An exciting tutorial.
Oh my god, I'm fighting a melted guy. And yeah, like the boss fight, you just fling blocks of sand back at him. I don't know why people think it's so good. Like, he throws a brick of sand, you just like catch it midair and throw it back.
I mean,
it's cinematic.
It sounds cool, I guess. Yeah.
It's cinematic. And the effect of the sand being like struck by the powers of the two of them attacking at the same time. That's cool.
That is cool. One thing that is a bit different about this game versus the previous games is that, and this was in the first two, but I've spoken in a big circle there.
Yeah.
In the first two Spider-Man games, you get phone calls from characters, and if you interact with like a bad guy, the Spider-Man would be like, oh, hang on, I just need to hang up. I'll call you back in a second, which is a really natural way of stopping the dialogue. But I found in the first two games, a lot of the information or conversations you're having over the phone are all just like little conversations that aren't like that impactful or that like big. Where in this one, they are at points, which means that occasionally, like it happened to me when I was playing just before today, like a character was revealing like a big thing and I just went to go fight some goons. So I was just like, oh, hang on, I'll call you back. Like midway through a big reveal.
That's great.
Yeah. And yeah, it's funny to hear the character not
MJ's
get pissed
like,
off.
I'm pregnant.
Oh yeah, no worries, Pete. I'll speak to you later. Yeah, look, it is very fun. And I will definitely finish it. And it's one of those games that like really dares you to be like 100% me. Go on.
You probably will.
I probably will.
Given your track record.
Yeah, well, the only two PlayStation games I've ever platinumed are the other two Spider-Man games. They're not in my top 10 PlayStation games.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's something about those games.
Yeah. Yeah, look.
How many thumbs? What are we talking?
Four thumbs.
That's solid. That's good. Respectable.
And if someone's like, four out of five.
That's great.
It's not in Game of the Year contention for me.
Yeah.
And if someone was like, hey, on Friday the 20th of October, two games came out. Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. What's better?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to think. It's Mario Wonder.
Yeah.
That game, I've played it less, but it rocks so much and it is so addictive and feels so good to play and all of it rocks. The animation's so funny.
Oh yeah.
The talking flowers should be annoying.
They're somehow not. I was shocked by that.
And like sometimes they're like legitimately funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, Mario, play that and Spider-Man, play it if you want.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hey. Jackson, what have you been playing?
Well, I'm a big Hellboy guy.
Whoa!
I've always liked guy who likes Hellboy alert. But I've always liked the comics, and there have been Hellboy games in the past, but I've never played them. I've heard they're dog shit.
Yeah, that's
fair enough. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But recently, Hellboy Web of Weird was released, which is a kind of a roguelite brawler sort of type game.
Just quickly back to something you said before, and I don't want to derail this too quickly.
That's okay.
But it is funny because I think we're blessed because we can kind of pick what we want to review.
Yeah.
It's funny to be a video game review podcast that doesn't play games because we hear through bad reviews. Like, we're like, oh, that game got bad reviews. I'm not going to play it.
Well, it's for like the PS2 as well.
Oh, yeah. So, we
like,
missed the boat.
It's hard to track down.
So long ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on.
It's not like I bought a PS2 because that fan sent us all those PlayStation 2
games.
Yeah,
it's not like we literally had a month this year called PlayStaple.
Well, I'll track down the other Hellboy games then.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
I want that, yeah.
Okay,
if it's good?
We'll see. Anyway, so Hellboy Web of Weird, the thing that really stood out, first of all, is that it is... it looks like visually it's the same as the comics. They've kind of matched Mike Mignola's art style.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, it's so like perfect when you're playing it. It feels so good and it looks so good. Most of the gameplay, I suppose the story is that, you're in a guy's house. I'm going to explain this so badly.
Man, that's a huge call to action. Yeah. quick, Hellboy, you're in a guy's house.
It's a guy's mansion.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Sorry,
that
Hellboy.
That actually does. That's different, because if it's Hellboy, you got to get to the kitchen and it's just the next room yeah, over. Yeah. That's not an interesting story. But in a mansion, it could be like, there's limitless possibility in a
there's
mansion.
There's many rooms you might yeah, have to get so through to get rooms. To the kitchen.
Having a mansion would be so stressful. What do you put in the rooms?
I think about that all the time. I think about how scary it would be. This is what I was thinking. So, I recently saw on a walk a big church for sale, right? Like they were selling nice. It as like a commercial, like you could buy it and live yeah. in it, like a residential property. And I think the idea of sleeping in a bedroom that has a door to a big open empty church is really scary for some reason. Like sleeping with that big empty space, is that not scary?
And Jesus is still up there?
Yeah, he would be.
It's like, you could have taken that down. You own it. You yeah. don't need to keep it up.
Yeah, I know. But like, also, are there like heritage reasons when I need to leave the Jesus? I don't know.
Oh, the heritage listed Jesus.
It's funny you saw that, because on the weekend, I went to a church to see some bands play.
Yeah.
And a neighbor was not happy about bands playing in a church, so came into the church, unplugged all the instruments.
Whoa.
But then one of the members of the band was... because it was a Halloween kind of party show, was dressed as a pastor. So then he lied and said he was the pastor of that church and consoled the man and walked him out of the church. That was like
oh my
such
God.
Quick thinking.
That's amazing.
So well played.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I guess we've both had church experiences
that's,
recently.
That's great.
But yeah, why would you put in a church?
I don't know. I don't know what you do with it.
I've been to church cafes.
Okay.
Church cafes, that's good. Yeah.
It's a cool way to redo a church.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like you keep the old stained glass windows and stuff. It's got some character.
That's true.
And then you get a coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's quite big.
For everyone.
Maybe a restaurant you yeah. could turn it into.
You're...
A club?
Club church.
Club church. You got if you have everything's heritage listed, you got to kind of like dance around the pews and stuff. Awkward.
Thank you so much for coming to Club Church. I didn't think about it beyond the name. You're not allowed to touch anything. I will be in so much trouble.
Don't
Do not touch anything.
Walking around the dance floor being like, don't put your drink there, please. You're going to leave a stain. Oh my God.
Leave all your cups at the front.
Anyway, so...
Bring your own water. We'll sort out the rest.
So the basic gameplay is that you go into this place called The Weird, which is like
is
a
that kind the mansion?
Of, it's in the mansion. You go in a big, like a diving bell into The Weird,
uh-huh.
which is like a kind of a series of connected rooms where you fight a bunch of guys in those rooms
yeah.
Trying to make your way to a boss.
Yeah.
And this is where the roguelite element is. You come across these kind of little god guys, and they give you sort of like blessings or whatever that you stack over the course of that particular run.
Mm-hmm.
The combat's kind of simple, but like it's quite easy to figure out, but it's got a, like enough crunch to it and enough depth to it that it makes fighting enemies quite like entertaining.
Yeah.
And it gives you kind of that Dark Souls, like you kind of really got to be thinking on your feet to mm-hmm. make your way to sort of defeat these enemies. You got to be really paying attention to what they're doing. They telegraph their attacks quite a bit, but
it's crazy how video games make you pay attention now, hey.
Oh, dude, they do. The video games make you pay attention, but not all of them.
That's true. Mario, you can still just jump on it.
I reckon for the first three worlds of Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and I'm at the last world, I barely paid attention.
That's...
You're on the phone getting punched.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd send me an email.
Dusha was kicking me in yeah. the face, and I was still running through all the Goombas or whatever. Yeah. So with Hellboy, yeah, the you do have to pay attention, but it's quite easy to figure out kind of how to move through everybody's attacks and how to dodge and stuff like that. But there's enough to it, and you kind of unlock more weapons and charms as you play that you can kind of move your play style around and try a bunch of different things. That I don't know. It's kept, even though the enemy variety is really low, it's
yeah.
kept the combat pretty engaging for me at least.
Well, that's good.
And the nice. the bosses as well. Are like they're the right kind of like ramp up in difficulty, and you sort of keep you on your toes. You're dodging through attacks, which is really fun. You're kind of moving.
Iframes.
Yeah, it was kind of. It's not quite iframes. It's
like in a bullet heli way where you're invincible when you do your dash or whatever.
Yeah, so yeah. Just, more, it's yeah, more yeah. like that, and it's figuring out the right combination of, you know, it's that kind of rhythm that you get into with yeah. games like this, where it's that right combination of like, when are you blocking? When are you dodging under attacks? When are you dodging to the the side? When are you getting your counters? Like, and fun stuff that really works with that kind of like Hellboy aesthetic and the kind of things that happen in the comic where like the boss to defeat the boss, I picked up a big, like a bit of a marble column and just hucked it at the enemy's head. Felt great.
Yeah.
The punches and stuff feel awesome. The like the feeling of slamming into one of the enemies with your right hand of doom is just like, oh, and the sound design, it's so perfect. It feels great. You kind of feel like a boxer, which is awesome. It's like, imagine Dark Souls combat, but you're like nose to nose with the guy. That's what it feels like. And it's great. I really, really, really like it. The enemy variety is pretty slim, so I've only done the first two worlds so far, and each world has like one main boss and then mooks, which are like smaller, they're just more like enemies, but they're kind of more of an annoyance than like something you're going to properly deal with. And there'll be 3 degrees of the kind of main enemies. So like a, you know, small one, a slightly harder one, and then a Mondo Big Bucks one.
Yeah.
And then a final boss at the end. And each enemy you do have to kind of like interact with and engage with differently. But it does get a bit tiresome after a certain point because they are all the same enemy. But like I said, the combat's kind of enough that it keeps you engaged. And I'm interested in the story too. Which is so rare for me. I hate stories in games.
Pete, you wouldn't be aware of this, but Jackson plays games in a way that he's added this definition of low looking.
Yeah.
Which
some games are high looking, some games are low looking. Personally, I like a low looking game.
It has taken us 2 to 3 years to figure out what he means by that. And I think it's just that he likes to play video games somehow by only paying, like, at max 6 out of 10 attention.
Yeah. If I can be, like, 60% engaged and leave 40% of my brain power for something else.
Think about that church and how you decorate it.
Yeah.
Would Jesus be heritage listed?
Because there's a way to interpret high and low looking where, because for me, I was like, low looking, oh, that low looking is story based. You're reading the captions.
No.
You got subtitles on, you're just reading. You love to read your video games.
No,
I've got it completely wrong.
You got it completely backwards. That's the highest God, looking so a game can be.
Yeah.
I got to look for ages.
Low amount of looking versus high amount of looking.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you now.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's clear as hell.
No, well, here's the thing, Pete. You think you're with us, and I thought I was with Jackson as well. But if you tried to explain what you think Jackson means, Jackson would be like, not really. Quite that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you discover that this was you as a gamer? That you were like,
that's a great question.
It was probably a year or maybe a year and a half into Thumb Cramps when you were playing games that...
I'm not into this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember, because obviously high-looking and low-looking was coined on Thumb Cramps, but that way of interacting with games, when did that start? The only thing I can think of is I'm thinking back to the LAN parties of my youth, and I'm thinking back to my friends being like, let's play Age of Empires. And me looking at all the stuff... I'm being like, what?
That's a high-looking game.
That's high-looking. I don't care about any of this.
But, Pete...
Counter-Strike?
Counter-Strike would be low-looking, I think.
Low-looking.
Yeah,
but
Pete gets it.
No, he doesn't, because Pete, City Skylines, that's also low-looking.
City Skylines is low-looking.
Even though that is far more complicated than Age of Empires.
Interesting. But you can, like, pause time in City Skylines, right? So it's like, it doesn't demand your attention moment to moment.
Absolutely. And you just got to look at what's going on in your city.
Yeah.
You know,
they run themselves.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting that Jackson, every time he plays City Skylines, names his town like Arscrack Bay or Arscrack City or Butthole Village.
The best thing that City Skyline does, and I've not played the second one yet, but I hope they allow it, is that you can get rid of all schools and just educate your citizens with a blimp. I think that's awesome. You can have educational
so
blimps.
Drink branded beverage floating around town like, I learned a lot today.
Yeah, thank God I don't have a primary school. We got the blimps. Blimp educated citizens. That's what you want.
Hellboy, is it good?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I really like it. It's not a huge game. And it's kind of rough around the edges, and I can absolutely understand that this wouldn't be for everyone. I've seen a lot of people be like, way too easy.
They've been poo-pooing it.
They have been. They're like, it's way too easy, it's not interesting enough, there's not as much going on as they'd like. A lot of people also criticize the fact that it was a roguelite, as opposed to a kind of more crafted and like handmade story-driven game, which I get. But I think this game captures the feeling of an action sequence in a Hellboy comic in a way that like nothing else has, no other piece of media has, not even I think the movies really have done, which I think is awesome.
That's a bold thing to say in Adaptobo.
I think it's true,
though. Is Mr. Perlman involved at all?
No, so thank you for reminding me. It's Lance Reddick is voicing Hellboy.
Whoa,
cool.
And it was apparently his last voice acting role. And it's awesome. He is so perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's so good playing a character where when you defeat an enemy, he says, moron. That's great. That's so good. I love that. Lance Reddick is Hellboy in it, and he does a fantastic job. All the voice acting is really good. It's a bit janky, it's a bit rough around the edges, but I really like it. I'm probably going to give it 5 thumbs, to be honest.
Hell yeah.
Oh my goodness, hell yeah.
I know.
No, okay, so Jackson, we know that 5 thumbs is the max you can give a game.
Yes.
But if it is your game of the year, that's 10 thumbs.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about maybe it being a contender for your game of the year, that's 7 thumbs.
Yes, that's true.
And if you're thinking about it potentially being
you're giving
contention.
Peter
Haddock. What the hell is happening? I get the high and low looking, but I can't follow the thumb math.
Hey, Pete, it's easy.
We've seen boy math, girl math, but now I'm trying to learn thumb math.
Yeah, thumb math.
I can't keep up.
So it's out of 5 thumbs, but you can give a game 6 thumbs if you're considering it potentially being a game of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
7 thumbs if you are considering it being a game of the year, and it's 10 thumbs if it is your game of the year. 8 or 9 unknown currently.
Yeah.
So do you do an episode at the end of the year where you revise a 6 or a 7 into a 10?
It
just sort of happens sort of organically.
Okay,
so
cool,
I think both of us have gave 10 thumbs pretty much straight out of the gate this year. So
what did I give 10 thumbs to?
Was that pun intended? Was it a Baldur's Gate?
No.
My 10 thumbs was to the game Shadow Man.
Yeah, it was.
The remastered for the Nintendo Switch.
And mine would have been Tears of the Kingdom, which is a more normal and boring answer.
Shadow Man's so awesome.
Yeah. I want to play it.
The power of the dark side flows through me. He says that every time he gets a Dark Soul. He's so happy.
I'm learning so much about your taste in games. You just like someone saying something funny every time they do something.
I do.
It's either moron or the power.
Pete, you'll be happy to know that you have nailed that straight off the bat because when we first all started awarding a game of the year, because another Thumbcram's game of the year thing is it's just the best game you've played this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to have come out this year.
Yeah,
good. I like that. Yeah. I like that. There are too many games to go like, oh, it has to be like pinned to a year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's nonsense.
And you're playing a bevy of games from across a broad time period over the course of a year. And if you find a game you love, make it your game of the year.
And Jackson's first game of the year was... Actually, it was Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racer because you liked Anakin constantly saying...
Yippee! And eat slime. What does he say? Eat my dust worm bag or something?
Eat fumes wormo.
You can't... In a Star Wars sci-fi setting, you can't be calling people wormo.
Anakin, what does that mean?
What is that? That's some kind of racial epithet. Yeah, you can't be throwing that
maybe
out.
Maybe Wormo is the character's name. Like, it's a pretty Star Warsy name.
Some guy he knows named Wormo.
The Sabalba and Wormo is next door.
Well, we got Sabalba, we got Gasgano, we got Ben Quadrinellis. There's
Absolutely.
Heaps of guys. Wormo could be a guy.
Yeah.
Wormo's a guy.
Wormo's
in my
a
mind,
guy.
Wormo's canon now.
Yeah.
And the following year, Jackson gave it to Turok 2 on the Nintendo Switch because Turok says, "I am Turok,"
and the dinosaurs sound like horses in the first level, and that was pretty funny. And then it was
so it's Nintendo 64 ports to the Switch where someone says something funny
until last year, where it was the Deadliest Catch video game.
Oh hell yeah! I've not played that, but
it's so
my
much
God.
Fun. You get so many crabs.
And I found out,
it's awesome.
Good stuff.
Anyway, 5 thumbs for Hellboy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pete, what have you been playing?
Well, I've cheated a little bit as well.
That's
in the same
game.
Way that you did with Spider-Man 2. This game wouldn't exist without a film.
Whoa.
But it is not a direct film tie-in game.
Yep.
It's Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Oh, good choice.
The 1992 LucasArts classic.
That's awesome.
I played it as a kid. And I didn't realize until I did research, like, coming onto the pod, that the game was on DOS, and then I played a CD-ROM version of it.
Yeah.
And before it was on CD-ROM, it didn't have any voice acting. It was a much more basic version of the game.
Whoa.
Because they just didn't have...
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't send out 40 floppy disks in a you know... In a postcard. So I played the CD version of it, and I remember loving it as a kid. So I was like, I'm going to jump on the opportunity to go back and see if I loved it for a reason, or if it was just because I was young and it was Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
but it is like, it's peak LucasArts, and it's so beautiful from the first frame. The whole opening sequence is an opening titles, like it's credits. It's crediting the director and the voice actors and everything. And it's indie, and I should establish, it's a point-and-click adventure game. That's what LucasArts did.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving through all this beautiful pixel art, and indie is just falling through floors of It's the museum that he's working out of or across the road from, but he's trying to find a particular artifact because he's been told to look for it, and so he's just like bouncing through these floors as the credit sequence comes up, and the MIDI version of John Williams' score is coming through, and it's just amazing, amazing opening to a game that holds up absolutely, and so then you kind of you get introduced to just, you know, the beats of a classic indie romp. Those films were like a pastiche of the 50s, like golden age of Hollywood. And so they never needed to be complex stories or anything other than take everything at face value.
Yeah.
And right from the start, you meet a German man who's got he's speaking with a thick German accent in the 40s, and he calls himself Mr. Smith. And you're like, you're the bad guy. So it just wears all of that on its sleeve. And then you take off on an adventure to find the fate of Atlantis. I played through, I definitely got in, you know, a couple of hours further than I ever got as a kid, as an idiot child.
Oh, yeah.
Through a point and click adventure.
It feels good to go back to an old game that you remember fondly from being a kid, like fondly as a kid, and then going back and just blasting past wherever you got stuck as a child.
Oh yeah,
totally.
It's good to know that in 20 plus years you have gotten smarter. Yeah,
that's true. This is evidence. I can't imagine my child brain. Like if you gave my child, you give me a point and click adventure today, I'm struggling. You give my child brain, whoa, dude, I might fall unconscious.
you accidentally back to like. The bad ending of Back to the Future yourself, because you go back in time, give yourself a point and click adventure game, and kid, you just die.
I just fade out of existence.
Oh no!
Shouldn't have done that.
I'm glad that's the bad version of Back to the Future and not the one where you end up with your mother.
Yeah.
How did this happen? I just gave my child self Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
No, I've married my mom.
Now I married my mom.
Things went really, really wrong.
there's a guy called Doug Lee who does the voice of Indy, and he's kind of generic American man. It's definitely not Harrison Ford, but it still works. There's something like, it doesn't take you long to adjust to him, and the writing of it is so in the style of the film that the character just, you know, comes off the screen and then you're off and bouncing through. Just the thing that blew me away was how much art there is.
Yeah.
Because it's just screen after screen after screen of just beautiful art. And, you know, I played a few point-and-click adventures when I was a kid and obviously was awful at them because I only made it a few screens through. But just the... it was just magic thinking about the combinations of, like, open, close, use, look at, talk to, and then click on things art.
Absolutely.
You know, and they can do so much with such simple tools.
How were the, what's the puzzle sort of situation like? Like how oblique and sort of moon logic do they become in Fate of Atlantis?
So it kind of, you learn to look at whatever you can engage with.
Oh, yeah.
So you might get a piece of information back and then talk to people again. So there's like a systemic way of breaking it all down. It is obscure. Like I did a puzzle where there's basically a capybara a giant rodent.
Yeah.
And of course, Indy hates snakes. He's encountered a tree with a massive anaconda wrapped around it. And he goes, I hate snakes. And then leaves again. He walks back out of that scene. So you're like, okay, what do I do here? I'll send... And yeah, my first thought was, well, I got to make the snake eat the rodent.
Yeah, yeah.
And feel awful about it. So you go through the process of like cracking your whip at the rodent and trying to get it to go through the right door, basically, to end up in front of the python where it attacks it and they roll up the cliff together. So there's stuff like that that is so like contextual.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the art, and every space you go, there's something like that where you go, oh, that was really clever. It's just about interacting with enough stuff to get the pieces of information that you need to crack the puzzle.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really loving it, and I just love all the characters and the way that they treat you and they treat your partners. Sophia Hapgood is the kind of like your sidekick, she's like, again, another classic like 50s heroine.
Oh, yeah.
Of like she's got the leather jacket and the boots, and
awesome.
You know, she's out in the field with you and kicking ass. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's sick. I was trying to remember the last point-and-click game I played, and I could, like, picture it, but I couldn't picture the character.
Yeah.
Or, like, what I was doing. I could just remember the puzzles, and then it just came back to me right at the end there that the game I was thinking of was Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Die.
That's look so
at,
funny.
Look at.
Yeah.
I think the last one I played was The Excavation of Hobbs Barrow, which...
You loved that game.
I loved so much. That's... probably one of my like top five ever experiences, like so eerie, so good.
Sadly, couldn't quite best Deadliest Catch.
No. Well, I got so many crabs, but
that was Hobbs Barrow. Probably could have used more crabs.
Honestly,
have you played a recent point and click? Have you played like the Monkey Island reboot?
No, but I kind of think that it's a genre, which is crazy given our high looking, low looking conversation, because a point and click adventure should be high looking. But I think it's a genre of games that I've kind of neglected, and this makes me want to try Fate of Atlantis and see if I can really get into it, because it seems awesome. And I remember it from my childhood. I remember watching somebody play it now and being like, whoa, don't know what's going on, but whoa, so cool looking.
I think the best one I've played, and it's embarrassing because I was about to say the best one and I've totally blanked on this name, Toontown,
the Toontown.
Yeah.
Was that another LucasArts one?
I don't know if it was LucasArts, but Christopher Lloyd is the main actor in it.
Oh,
it is... Because Toontown is the name of the Toontown in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and this game is based very heavily off it.
It's called
Toonstruck.
Toonstruck.
Okay.
I think that's probably my favorite point and click I've played. It's definitely aimed more towards kids, I would say, especially when compared to Leisure Suit Larry, the other recent point and click game.
You're really at both ends of the spectrum there.
But it's like wacky enough, and it does have like that Who Framed Roger Rabbit energy, and it bombed real hard when it came out, so it is only... It has an ending, but it's like a cliffhanger because they were meant to make a sequel.
Yeah.
But it cost a lot of money to make and then sold no copies. But yeah, it's gone back and people have been like, oh, this is a cult classic. Really wish they finished it.
I hadn't heard of it, but it's Christopher Lloyd, obviously, you shouted out. It's only $10 on Steam, but it's Dan Castellaneta did a bunch of voices and Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's about like, that's where huge. That's where they blew the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the animation style and the story. It's kind of got like that Who Framed Roger Rabbit Animaniacs kind of vibe where it is for kids, but there's a lot going on and a lot thrown at you, which means that like a point you're like, that was a rude joke. I got that. That one was for me.
Cheeky.
The Leisure Suit Larry fan. but yeah, I'm kind of like Jackson. I should probably play more because I like them. And solving a puzzle in a point and click game is so satisfying.
Oh, yeah. It feels great. Yeah, big fan.
Combining like a gum, like chewing gum and a stick to open a cupboard. That rocks.
I remember there was one puzzle in The Excavation of Falls Barrow.
Hobbs Barrow?
Hobbs Barrow, sorry. Where you were in the middle of town, you needed to distract someone, and I can't remember the exact puzzle, but the step before the final step was that a girl was juggling apples. And then if you didn't do something, she would just fall on her face and the apples would go everywhere. I reckon she fell on her face like 40 times because I just could not figure it out. It was so confusing what I had to do. But yeah, I think yeah, I should get it. I'm gonna get Fate of Atlantis. When I get home, I'm buying it.
Hell yeah. And I'm gonna go back and play Toonstruck again because it rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Christopher Lloyd's an animator who has made a show. And he hates his show. He's so sick of it. And then he gets sucked into it.
Ah. That'll get
and
you.
And he finds love for it again.
That's so nice.
He's teamed up with the main character from his show, whom he hates.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the plot of the movie Monkey Bone.
Yeah, it's also like the plot of the movie... Oh, no, I was thinking of Son of the Mask. But he likes his thing. I was just thinking of animators and wacky yeah. characters, I think.
That's okay.
Son of the Mask is an interesting movie.
Yeah, it sure is.
There's a lot going on in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has sex with his wife as the mask and then has a mask baby.
Yeah, that's true.
And in a scene that was only shown in the Australian version, you see Mask come swimming towards her egg. It's a kid's movie.
Yeah. They show you Mask.
I gotta watch this film.
You really do. Yeah. I think all Australians should.
Yeah, it was filmed in Sydney. That's where you are, Pete.
Yeah, that's true. It's our heritage.
There's a big... is it Curzon Hall? Is that the name of the hall in Sydney? Yeah. Anyway, there's a big scene that was filmed there.
Yeah, cool.
Right. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Recognize the town, get to see some Mask semen.
Yes!
It's nice. What's the song called? Ride of the Valkyries is the song I was thinking of. Not Chariots of Fire, which is it's one of those two songs is playing while Mask come race each other for the egg.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
It's awesome.
I wonder why that movie didn't do so well.
I don't know.
Chariots of Fire is the piano-y bling 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 yeah. bling bling bling.
It's
that one? That feels like that's a racing.
That's a racing song, yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go back and rewatch that scene, I guess.
There's a lot we gotta do, dude.
we got a big list.
That just made me want to watch the 400-meter Kathy Freeman 2000 Olympics.
Oh, yes!
Commentary on.
I can go and watch that, and you can go and watch Son of the Mask.
But just the cum scene.
Yeah. It's the perfect viewing experience.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, how many thumbs for Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis?
I got to give it five. Nice.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Holds up so well, and I, you know, it can't be Game of the Year because it didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
Crazies. Well, no. Well, on Thumb Cramps, it could be Game of the Year
on Thumb Cramps if you want it.
Yeah, you played it this year, so it could be your 2023 Game of the Year.
Yeah.
If you just think it's a perfect game, then you can give it five thumbs. But if you are thinking about it potentially being.
There's something, okay, how my mind is justifying this doesn't make sense at all, but I'm like, I've only got five fingers per hand, so I can't give more than five thumbs, but that is, I don't have five thumbs.
You got two thumbs per
I've
body.
I've only got two. but that's what's stopping me from pushing past the five.
That's fair.
Seskel and Ebert used to give two thumbs up each, so a movie could get four thumbs. But we're one thumb better than them.
That's true. We've got four thumbs together. Yeah, that's crazy.
Unless, of course, they think that it might be a movie of the year, which then they could give it five thumbs. But if it's definitely in the contention, it'd be seven thumbs. Yeah.
I'm gonna dig up Roger Ebert and ask.
We're kind of in many ways like the modern day Seskel and Ebert. I think so.
Roger Ebert famously used to review movies more positively if they featured big-breasted women because he was a pervert.
That's awesome.
That's you.
I am a pervert.
And I've definitely mentioned this not only on podcasts before, but on Thumb Cramps before. Roger Ebert's favorite seat in a movie cinema was back row, right hand side, and that is disgusting.
Why?
That is a stupid seat.
What did he like? Having a crick neck?
Well, because it's like the sound mixing is made that middle is the perfect spot at a cinema. How he reviewed movies for goddamn 40 years just sat in the back right hand corner.
That's crazy.
Unless because it came into the pervert nature again. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
Roger Ebert thing.
Yeah, he could
be. It might just be about control. Like, you know, he treated reviewing as like a scientific practice. Yeah. And so he would try to control as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
You can't always sit middle because that's the first place to go.
That's true.
So if he goes back right, every single movie he sees, he knows that that's not influencing his seat position.
That's solid
influencing
baseline.
His movie taste.
It's true.
He's removed.
We cracked the Ebert case.
Yeah. I like to think that he was sitting there to crank his dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's also good.
Yeah, jacking
he brought
off
a custom popcorn box.
Yeah.
That was another thing that he hasn't spoken about very much. And sadly, he died before he could. But yeah, he had a custom popcorn box. He'd review a movie and also whack off his dick.
The custom popcorn box, I get it for discretion, but it's funny to be like, would you like some popcorn? And then do it to yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wouldn't
mind. Oh, my God. Oh, what's that? Oh. You have to sit in the back right-hand corner because he's constantly
talking. He's doing a little play.
He's
a little scenario is playing out.
A fun little play about jacking off his dick. That's awesome. I miss Roger Ebert.
Is this slander?
No,
it's speculation.
Most of the stuff I said is based on things that I 100% know are true.
Yeah, that's fair.
Except for the jacking of his dick part, but that's just
an educated
hypothesis.
Guess. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. And Jackson, it's come to that point in the show where you got to let a little guest
in. A little friend of ours has been waiting outside.
Is it the vacuum cleaner?
No, it's not a vacuum cleaner. It's me, Mr. Ads. Hey. How you doing? I'm Mr. Ads. I'm here to deliver the ads to the podcast. Pete, it's wonderful to meet you.
You said, oh, so nice to meet you.
Welcome to the show. It's not my show, obviously. I'm just here to deliver
but
the ads.
But you are, in many ways, Mr. Eds, you are the main attraction.
That's why people come. That's what I hear.
That's why I'm here.
You said little before, but I'm like 7 foot tall. Anyway, here's the ads. I'm going to be on my way. Going to deliver more ads to more podcasts.
Well, thank you so much, Mr.
Goodbye.
Ads.
Nice meeting you, Pete. See you.
So nice to meet you. Have fun.
See you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Great guy.
I mean, he's a wonderful guy. We
wonderful
love Mr.
Man.
Ads.
And a little thing that people might realize about Mr. Ads is he's the reason we get paid to do this.
That's true.
He had to duck on the way out.
Yeah, he's so tall.
He is a tall man. He's really tall. Yeah.
Now, Jackson, last week when we went to this section of the show, and Pete...
was it bad? I forget.
No, well, so Pete, just to fill you in, you are a first-time guest on Thumb Crams today. Our inbox sometimes is encouraged by our bad behavior a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
So when I head to thumbcramspod@gmail.com, sometimes emails that are waiting for me...
Horrible.
Yeah. Jackson's had what he's described as his event horizon with cold actions twice now.
Yeah. Well, I had an Oppenheimer moment on the podcast once where somebody sent in a picture of a dead rat their dog had found that had gigantic balls.
And they were like, Jackson would like this.
And I was like, what have I done with my life that this is what people think I want? That somebody sees a rat's dead balls and thinks of me. Like, that's, I've become death destroyer of worlds. Like, I was real self-reflection.
Yeah,
real.
You got it.
You know, I've been doing this for 10 years and this is my legacy.
Yeah,
I have
created a legacy where someone didn't think twice about taking a photo. Not only taking a photo of a dead rat with huge balls, being like, this reminds me of that podcast host I like.
I'm going to email them. Mm. And what did they think I would do? Mm. Anyway.
Can I ask how big were they?
They were pretty big.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Jet Li movie, The One?
Yeah, sure.
There's a rat in that has a bomb on it that also has giant balls. And I would say that they're probably about the same size as that
size,
rat balls.
Yeah.
And when I was I was told about the rat balls in that movie, I was like, I would notice rat balls and also like You're making fun of me. And then I rewatched it, and my God, the rat has huge balls.
They feature? Yeah.
They feature.
Looking at the bomb. I guess you're looking at the, like, there's a red flicking light on it. And,
it's kind of got like, if I remember correctly, the rat, it's kind of like a, you can't miss it because the rat's filmed from behind.
Yeah, it is. And its balls are kind of dragging behind it on the ground of the, I don't know, high-tech office or wherever it's set.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was Jackson's Oppenheimer moment, number one. And then number two, we lent a little too heavy into asking people for their preference with jerking off Jackson.
Mm, yeah.
And then
I regretted this.
Yeah.
I asked people if they ever jerked off looking at themselves in the mirror, because it just occurred to me.
It related to an email.
Like somebody sent us an psycho kind of like...
Yeah.
Like, point at yourself. I mean, we're back to Spider-Man. And the old point and wink. Yeah.
And I was like, has anybody ever done that? And then we got way too many emails of people being like, yes.
And here's details.
But then on the most... here's the thing. On the most recent episode, we asked people to send in an email...
Normal
email saying what games they like. So let's see what happened.
Okay, cool.
Look, we got a lot of emails, which is, it can go either way. Yeah. It means that people are listening. That's good.
Hey, that's something.
Nice.
So I guess we'll start off with this one.
Okay.
Which is, it's a game we've spoken about a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a listener in Hungary, which is
cool.
Very far away.
Yeah.
And the subject of the email is video games you like.
Okay. Hey, this sounds good.
We're safe so far.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
And let me tell you, I think we're safe.
That's so
I know that there is definitely other emails here, and I'm not sure if I'll get to all of them or even some of them, but I know that there's some.
Because you
like,
did specify video games, right?
Yeah. Subject, video games you like.
That sounds like it's going to be good.
This should be good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is from Jack from Hungary. Pete, because often when people tell us video game related stories, they're either embarrassing or damaging to their own personal brand.
Yeah.
So we actually have a coward alarm we play if people email us in and don't include their name. So Jack isn't a coward. Jack says, "Dear video game boyfriends and beautiful guests, as a teenager, I loved the Ratchet and Clank series. Power-ups, witty dialogue, strange new worlds, secrets to collect." Fun. Secrets to collect is a good phrase.
Yeah.
It's good to just go around and collect
some secrets. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, what's going on? Got any goss for me?
Got some secrets in this bag. I'm collecting.
Then, as an adult with a PlayStation 4, I saw that they were remaking the original game and nearly shot out a wrench. Yeah, you should see a doctor.
That's graphic.
But thematically appropriate.
Thematically appropriate.
True. That's very true.
That's proof that Jack isn't lying and Jack has played Ratchet and Clank.
It's good to
Loves
know.
Hardware.
Yeah. Jack then, well, the email takes a bit of a turn. Mm-hmm. I then played it to completion and it left a bit of taste in my mouth.
Oh no.
Secrets to find were removed. Combat was a little too hand-holdy, and the dialogue was replaced with scenes from the highly successful movie of the same name.
I remember this.
Breaking the flow of the game, reminding me that I'm in my 30s and should probably not be gaming and be working instead.
When a game reminds you of the inexorable march of time, that's a bad sign.
So, Jack, this is a side note, but an awesome thing I have, because I rent and I'm in a share house, is I have to tell my friends sometimes, hey, I can't do a thing. I've just got to play a video game for work.
Yeah.
It still doesn't feel good.
It's
It feels like they're like, oh, I'm like, I'll be talking to a housemate. They're like, oh, I've just got like all these things I have to do for work. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I got to watch one movie and play two different games. And I've only got 2.5 days to do it.
But I think like Jack is like, as said, they were 30 and I'm 33. Mm-hmm. I feel the same kind of shame around like, you know, playing video games to pass time. But that's passing, man. Like the next generation, they've grown up with games.
Because
we're
true.
From the generation that grew up where our parents didn't play games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, you can't stop wasting your time playing video games.
Jack,
you're allowed to spend your time doing whatever you want, man.
Yeah. Jack, you're an adult. Well, Jack's got two questions for us.
Yeah.
My question for your beautiful minds. Thank you, Jack, for acknowledging our intellect.
Yeah.
We often get sick of
intellect. Or do you just have a hot brain?
Yeah. It's sexy.
My brain's fizzing.
we got fizzy brains, no thoughts. One, have any remakes made you so disappointed that you hunted for ancient game technology to play the original game again? And two, are there any video game remakes or re-releases you've avoided/will avoid for fear of being hurt again? Many thanks, Jack from Hungary. All right. Yes, I have definitely played earlier versions of games because I'm like, this is the way to play it. But I haven't had to like, I still have a GameCube and still have a PlayStation yeah. and stuff like that. So I don't have to go very far to find those if I want to play them again.
Yeah, nice.
Games I will avoid. I'm one of those guys that loved Knights of the Old Republic, and I know the remake is definitely never coming out, but if it does come out, I will be trepidatious because I have a lot of good memories. Also, this the Grand Theft Auto trilogy remake is probably a good example of why sometimes you should be scared about remakes. Sometimes they wreck it. They cook it. They make a mistake.
Sometimes they goof it up.
They take a good game and they're like, what if it was bad?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I guess I avoided the Red Dead Redemption sort of remaster kind of thing that came out for the
port.
The port, that's what they call it. Yeah. Because I'd heard bad things. But I feel like I'm not playing that many remakes. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's probably not true, but I can't bring any to mind right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For me, like, I guess I'm not playing a lot of remakes either. I like a reboot. I like when, you know, I like Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, and I like when they're reviving an older franchise with a modern spin. I love a reboot.
Jackson and I,
even if they don't work, it doesn't tarnish
the
thing
absolutely.
That you enjoyed before.
Yeah,
like the GTA 3 or the GTA trilogy. It was a trilogy.
I think it was a trilogy,
right? Yeah, it burned some people.
Yeah, and I was so excited because like I'm not a huge GTA guy, but I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto 3. On PC, and that was like one of the first like proper like graphically intense video games I ever played, and I have like heaps of fond memories of stuff in that. So when they were like GTA 3 is coming to the Switch, I was like, man, I can't wait to revisit that. And then I saw what happened and I was like, damn,
yeah,
I ain't revisiting that.
I was the same with San Andreas. I have so many fond memories of me and my brother. We would put on the mod, the cheat, sorry, that made the
nude,
mod.
The nude mod?
Nude mod. Nude CJ mod.
That's the big head nude mod.
Damn, here we go again. No, but we would put on the cheat that made it very misty. Then we would put on the cheat where pedestrians attacked you just like no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play like a zombie apocalypse game in San Andreas. It was awesome. I have such fond memories. But then, yeah, when the remaster came out, I was like, oh, well, no thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, a reboot I'm totally fine with. Because, yeah, if that will not ruin my enjoyment or make me feel like they've taken anything away from me, where if it's a flat remake, especially if they remove the original version to replace it with a remake, which is also what they did with Grand Theft Auto, that sucks.
Yeah,
you can reboot stuff as much as you want.
Yeah.
Next email. Okay, this one's a little trickier. Subject, why?
Okay, I'm ready.
And this does tie into something we talk about a lot on Thumbcramps.
Okay.
And I've just had a quick scan. I think we're safe again.
Oh.
Another landmine avoided.
No pictures attached?
No pictures
no
attached.
No rat balls?
no rat balls. And no comments about jerking off in front of a mirror.
Okay, so, that's awesome. That's all I ask.
Hello, Thumb boyfriends and the guest that is there. My name is Chris. I'm not a coward, and today I stepped into a GameStop to purchase Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Nice.
Now, Pete, video games is also a big part of your job, and here at Thumbcramps, we have a firm belief that walking into a retail store and buying a video game is very embarrassing.
Yeah, it's one of the most humiliating things that a person can do. Obviously, this is the only way. I mean, you can buy a game digitally or whatever, but if you want a physical copy and you're not going to buy it online and get it delivered, you have to talk to someone. And it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And, you know,
it's a little bit embarrassing. I like my local. I've got an EB Games. I live like 2 hours out of Sydney, so I'm pretty regional.
Yeah.
And we got this tiny little EB Games, there's always art in the front from like the local like high school kids have drawn like their favorite Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's always a delight. That's a good icebreaker. It's like someone drew a great Bulbasaur.
That's
good.
You
got a good in.
Hey, before I ask you for this deeply embarrassing game, I just noticed the art of it. That's pretty fun. I'm an adult. Anyway, do you have
the new Super
Mario? Leisure Suit Larry? I'm an adult.
Leisure Suit Larry and the new Mario Brothers. Yeah. You got to get the Leisure Suit Larry in and then sneak the Mario in.
It's for work.
It's for work. I'm a guy who throws away video games. Whatever's cool.
I sit in the back right-hand corner of theaters. That's what I do for my work.
Well, Chris says, now, I'm fine with purchasing games at GameStop since that's what it's there for.
Fair enough.
But I asked the clerk if they had Wonder in stock, and he responded with, do you have a kidney? And I give him a little polite laugh like, okay. I pay, and then the guy immediately asks if I'm a speedrunner, and I say I'm not, and he responds with good, and then nothing else.
What the hell?
I left That's GameStop with my game and questioned if purchasing games is even worth it anymore.
Wait, so what was the first thing he said? Do you have a kidney?
Yeah, so I guess like a joke about like, oh, it's going to cost you a kidney. We've got it, but it'll cost you a kidney, but didn't what? Quite... You know how like people will say, oh no, yeah, like, we
cost,
got it.
Cost
but...
you an arm and a leg. Yeah, yeah.
Or like,
cost
oh,
you a kidney?
I think it's like he's combined the...
Did you mishear and he's saying, do you have a kid?
That's what I thought. They were too. Just implying that, oh, you're buying a kid's game?
Yeah. Does he think your name is Knee? Do you have a kid, Knee?
Do you have a kid, Knee?
Well, I mean, like, I have experienced retail store employees going rogue with conversation topics. Yeah. When I bought, I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but it's something that pops up in my brain.
It is a crazy story.
Once every 2 days. I purchased Street Fighter VI from a local JB Hi-Fi, and the employer asked if I'd seen the new jiggle physics, and I said,
off. Sorry.
No.
That's allowed. That's allowed.
And I was like, no. And he was like, oh man, yeah. Twitch streamers have started getting around it by saying that it's like a animation stream. So then like you could get some pretty good stuff there. And I was like, I don't know what energy I'm putting out there. And what makes it worse is he served me because I was buying Street Fighter VI and then buying the new WWE game for my housemate. And he was like, oh, well, you're never going to play this because Street Fighter rocks. So like insulted the purchase and I was like, oh, it's not for me. And then he was like, oh yeah, cool. And then I had friends in the store. So I went and stood with them and he circled around and then asked about the jiggle physics. Oh, I'd already purchased the game.
God,
he came for a round two.
That's so horrible.
And then I have to like every morning I have to look in the mirror and be like, do I look like a guy that's like stoked on jiggle physics in Street Fighter VI?
Do you look like a guy where if, like you look at you, you're like, that guy's going to have a good opinion on jiggle physics.
This guy,
I want to hear this guy's take on the jiggle physics.
Dude, this guy like full on comes in his pants when he thinks about Cammy.
Yeah. When you're looking at yourself in the mirror while masturbating, are you like, that's a guy who loves jiggle physics?
Oh, wow.
Now, look, this is... this email, I think, is probably a good way to end the show.
Okay.
Cool. The email segment, at least, because it is a tie into an email that I didn't read last week.
Okay.
But did reference.
Okay.
They were one of the people that weighed in on the great debate.
Right, I see.
So this is from Bad Janet.
Okay.
Dear Video Game Boyfriends.
We've had Bad Janet email him before. Yeah, okay.
Subject, genuine thanks for not reading out my last email.
Okay.
I was so scared during last episode that the drunk email I sent you was going to be mine. Thank Jeff it was not. Also, as a show of gratitude, here's a normal game-related statement.
I recently had
the opportunity to play one of my my favorite childhood games, Battle Tanks Global Assault for the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't played this game in almost 20 years, and while the nostalgia really hit, I was so bad at it. 12-year-old me would have bullied me mercilessly. Anyways, feel free to read this normal email, and so sorry for my last one. Bad Janet.
That's great. I don't
that
like
also that... ties into what we were just saying, but the reverse.
That's true. I don't like that we've entered a sort of bartering sort of system with our listeners, though, that they're like, okay, in exchange, you'll get a good email. I don't think this is a healthy relationship to build.
No, it's good. Most podcasts have a parasocial relationship. Ours is...
combative. Yeah.
And it's not relationship. It's just combat.
Yeah, we're just fighting them constantly.
And they're horny?
Dude, I don't know. It's a mess.
I don't know.
That was
such
a mercifully normal email segment, though. Thank God. More like that, listeners. Come on.
I'll just have a quick scan and just see if anyone sent us anything real bad this week. I think we're okay. This one I almost didn't read, but it's good, so okay. I'm going to read it. Normal is probably not right, but it's not dangerously unnormal.
All
right,
that's okay.
So this is from Nick, not a coward.
Okay.
Hello, internet boyfriends and honorable guest.
Mm-hmm.
This past Friday, I was out for a bar night with my fiancé and friends. I randomly made a Mario joke, which didn't land. Well, as I am the only gamer, which didn't land well, as I'm the only gamer in my friend's group. But not even a block later, I see a giant inflatable Mario on the side of a local club/bar. I then noticed more decorations to make the side of the bar look like a Mario level.
Okay.
This confused me because the Valencia room tries to be what some might call a cool people bar, but I assumed it must have been a sponsored event for Mario Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
The confusion then intensified when I look at the bar entrance and see one of the workers dressed up in a sexy Mario costume, mustache and all.
All right.
And then they say, for an example, think Hooters waitress meets Mario.
Awesome. Cool. Oh,
I do think that.
You know what? No, it does. It takes a turn. It takes a turn with too much information.
God damn it.
I turn to my fiance in my best Mario voice. I say, oh, no. Now I'm aroused by a Mario. She then relays that info to our friends, and everyone has a good laugh at the expense. And here we go. Of my suddenly tied up hands. Boner. There's a boner in this email.
What are you doing?
I'm hoping you boys have some advice on navigating a potentially growing Mario fetish and how not to let it ruin my relationship. Thanks for everything, Nick, not a coward.
Well, Nick.
Nick's fiance, if you're listening, leave Nick. Break up.
I have to go the opposite direction. Okay. It's like when you have the hook of a pop song in your head. The only way to get it out is to listen to it.
Nick, you have to have sex with Mario.
It's the only way.
Okay.
It's the only way.
That is good advice.
So there you go, Nick and Nick's fiance. Here's some advice. Either break up or maybe both dress as Mario.
Both? Whoa!
Open the relationship.
Get Mario
Bring some
in.
Mario's in.
Mamma mia.
Yeah.
Well, if you want
Wowie zowie, dude.
Wowie zowie. If you want to send us an email, hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. The other way you can get in contact with the show is by leaving us a 5-star review.
Yes.
If you leave any less than 5 stars, you will not be in contact with the show because we won't see
it. We'll ignore it.
And obviously last week we had some reviews that were 5 stars. Yeah. We read them out and we said, oh no.
It's leaked into the reviews too. But hopefully these are normal.
So this one is from that guy, Sean.
Yeah.
5 stars. Subject of the review is, I like reviews from people who are as bad at video games as I am. And then the body just says review optional.
Okay, great. Perfect.
That's good. That's
perfect. What we want. That's good stuff.
Just scrolled past one that said, it's a gusher. I'm not reading it. Okay, here we go. 5 stars. Fun times for all. Love it, boys and occasional girl. Keep it up.
That's great.
There we go.
Thank
That's
you.
That's good.
Wonderful.
See it.
That's really good
stuff.
I like
normal reviews, and I like normal emails.
And I like our very normal guest, Pete. So thank you so much for joining us today, Pete. If people want to see or hear more of you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so we make a show called Back Pocket for Twitch, which is a fun video game review show. And Ruby, who's been on the show as well, she's doing a podcast called Pocket Buds, where she chats to the likes of your lovely selves and some game devs. And if you've got a bit of an interest in the game dev scene in Australia, definitely subscribe to Pocket Buds because she's doing great work there.
Hell yeah. And Pete, do you want to plug your social media so people can come find you if they like?
Yeah, we're, I think, Back Pocket Vids on pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. YouTube's a great place for all the streams that we've archived as well. So you can
Hell yeah.
Just enjoy the entire catalog.
Oh, yeah.
There's no better way. If you're new to Back Pocket, you got to start from episode one and go all the way through and you're not allowed to stop.
It's the only way.
It's the only way to do it.
And if you're new to Thumb Cramps, don't go back. This is your first episode. You can only listen to the ones that come out after
this. Yeah, it's true. Sorry. Them's the rules.
But if this was maybe one of your favorite episodes of the year, consider giving it 6 stars on your podcasting platform.
And if it definitely was your episode of the year, that's 10 stars. Yeah. But if you're thinking about it maybe being in contention for podcast of the year, that's 7 thumbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Stars. Sorry, my mistake.
Totally different systems.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much again, Pete. And thank you, listeners. And thank you to everyone who kept it normal.
Yeah, keeping it normal.
Good luck having sex with Mario, Nick.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.